bring greetings in Jesus' name this morning. The Lord of the church, Jesus, the one who said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against her. I'd like to bring a message this morning from the book of Revelation. If you want to turn with me to Revelation chapter 3. Recognize the first few chapters of the book of Revelation. Jesus, through John, writes to the seven churches. This morning, I would like to look at the message that Jesus had for the church at Sardis. If you want a title for this morning's message, it would be Jesus' Message to a Dying Church. Jesus' Message to a Dying Church. A number of interesting things that we'll see as we read these few verses here that give us some insights into the church at Sardis. As we see in all of these messages to these churches, Jesus reminds them that I know thy works. Jesus knows the works, the hearts of God's people, the work of the church as it goes on. Jesus knows and understands it. And that is true for us yet today. A challenge for each of us individually, it's a challenge for us collectively. We know if a church is alive or if it is dying, it is a reflection on whether or not the people that make up that church are a people that are alive in Christ and are enthusiastic and thankful for what God, for what Jesus has done for them, or whether they are a dying people, whether they are lack spirituality. And we'll see those challenges as we look through this account. Let's read this account here, Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. We don't know a lot about Sardis. We are told that it was a very wealthy city, a very wealthy area. People were rich. It was a powerful city. And the influence of those riches and that wealth apparently was taking its toll on even the people of God. We know how that we are surrounded with challenges even in our time, the society in which we live. We need to be strong in the Lord. We need to be strong in Christ and not allow the culture and the influences of the world around us to draw us away from God and cause us to become complacent in our Christian lives. That the church of God, the people of God, may continue to be vibrant and alive before him. We'll notice, as we go through our meditation this morning, the important role that the Holy Spirit plays in the life of the believer and the life of the church. It's in the Holy Spirit that we have life. The Holy Spirit is the life of the church. Well, Jesus was evaluating, we could say. The first point of our message is evaluation. Jesus was evaluating these seven different churches, as we see it here in the church at Sardis. He's evaluating it. And he says, I know thy works. And let's be reminded again this morning that for our congregation here and for the Church of Jesus Christ at large, Jesus continues to know thy works, to know the works, the efforts, the commitment of the people of God. The all-seeing eye of God continues to penetrate the lives of individuals and collectively the Church of Jesus Christ. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. What an assessment, that thou livest and art dead. As we've said, the church is made up of many individuals. It appears like the work was going on. There was perhaps a form, there was an organization that was continuing to function, that was alive. And he also reflects on that there were some whose garments were not defiled. So there apparently were some faithful ones in this church at Sardis, and he compliments them for that. But there also was some serious needs. There was needs in the church to the extent that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. So activity is not the answer alone. Activity can continue to go on. We believe that there's a place for organization. There's a place for activity. We believe it's a blessing to have organization, to keep the church, the work of the church flowing, but it cannot be an end in itself. One educator said of the church here at Sardis that they counted nickels and noses, offerings and attendance. It was a continuing work that was going on. Outsiders saw the church as alive and well, but Jesus knew from the inside of the church that it was spiritually dead. Is our church alive? Is the church that you are a part of, the congregation that you are a part of, an alive, vibrant body of believers? I would like our consideration, our message this morning, to be a challenge to each of our hearts individually. Again, knowing that the church is made up of individuals. And whether or not those individuals are alive spiritually determines whether or not the church is alive spiritually. And so we all have a personal responsibility into what the testimony is. As our neighbors around us, the community around us, sees us gather from time to time, I believe they would observe that there is something going on here. There is activity. The work here is alive. But they can't see into our hearts. They can't see into the spiritual program that we have here, but Jesus can. Jesus does. Jesus is assessing. Jesus is evaluating who we are and whether we are alive or whether we are dying spiritually. Now, just a little bit reflecting on the importance of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, in that question of whether or not we are dead or alive. John chapter 6, verse 63 reminds us that it is the Spirit that quickeneth. It is the Holy Spirit, Jesus speaking there in John chapter 6. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. It is the Spirit that maketh alive. We need to have the Holy Spirit indwelling us in order for us to have life. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. I'd like to read a number of verses here in Romans chapter 8 that will highlight to us the importance of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer and how that the Holy Spirit brings life and light to God's people. Very familiar account, a very familiar passage here, Romans chapter 8. I'll begin at verse 1. Romans 8, verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or make alive your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We'll just continue reading there. Just a beautiful passage that very simply reminds us again this morning that where the Spirit is, there is life. But where the flesh is in control, there is death. Where the carnal man is in control, there is death. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And so one of the main things I would like us to remember here this morning is that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, gives life. It gives life to you as an individual follower of Jesus Christ. As you have the Holy Spirit living in your heart and in your life, it brings life. May the Holy Spirit have his way in each of our hearts individually, and then he will collectively. That's the beauty of the Christian Brotherhood, the body of believers. The life of the believer, therefore the life of the church, is the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is no death. There is life. Well, Sardis was in spiritual trouble, obviously, by Jesus' evaluation and sharing about this church here. The church was losing its saltiness. It was losing its spirituality. It had a form of godliness, but apparently denying the power of Jesus, the power thereof. Jesus was telling it as it was. Jesus was saying it just like it was. You are dead. There are at least those among you that are dead. You are a dying church. How do we know when a church is dying? What are the signs that we could tell that a church is experiencing death? It's just a number of points I'd like to give to that as we think of this point of evaluating. A number of points here. How we can determine whether a church is dying. Number one, a church is dying when it fails to fulfill the works of the Lord. In verse 2 here it says, I have not found thy works perfect before the Lord, before God. A church is dying when its works are not perfect before God. Now what determines whether a church's works are perfect before God is plain and simple. Is the church that you are a part of proven to be alive because it is following the teachings of the Word of God? If we are following the teachings of the words of God, if we are following the commands of our Lord Jesus, the great master teacher, it is an indication that we are alive spiritually, that we are a church that is alive. One of the indications here that this was a dying church, he says, I have not found thy works perfect before God. Now we know that there is no perfection to be found within the heart or life of any one of us on our own strength and our own merits. It's just not there. But as we come to God through Jesus Christ, we experience forgiveness of sin, and the Holy Spirit comes and indwells us. And we have a commitment, like we've been talking about in our Sunday school hour this morning, the commitment to follow God and to follow his teachings. There is then life. There's vitality. Jesus' testimony in John chapter 4, verse 34, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his word, to finish his work. Is that your testimony this morning? That your responsibility is to do the will of your Father, to do the will of God in your life. Again, Jesus says in John chapter 9, verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me. May we be faithful in doing the works of God. Point number two, how can we determine whether we are a dying church? A church is dying when it loses its awareness of God's presence. Verse 2 says, I have not found thy works perfect before God. We must develop and maintain a God awareness in our personal lives and collectively. God's presence. When the presence of God is no longer real, then true worship and the reason for an assembly are gone. May we keep God real in our life. May God be real in your everyday daily lives through Bible reading, through prayer, through meditation, connecting to God, seeing God in the circumstances and the walk of life in daily experience. Is God a part of your daily experience? A dying church or a spiritually dying person would be an indication of not having that awareness of God's presence. Number three, a church is dying when it forgets its unique calling. When we forget our unique calling. Verse 3, remember therefore how thou hast received. Remember. Remember what you have received. It does us well to remember from what we have been delivered this morning. It will help us to maintain an appreciation and an awareness if we reflect on the deliverance that Jesus has given us, that we are brought back to God through Jesus Christ. That will help to keep us alive. If in our daily prayers we thank God for Jesus and for salvation, a daily reminder of what we've been delivered from, that remembrance. Death is not far off when we forget that we truly are the body of Christ, the people of God. And we as the people of God have a mission, a divine call, an eternal mission. May we always remember that. Hebrews chapter 2, 1 to 3. Hebrews 2, 1 to 3. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense or reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? We should take the more earnest heed, lest at any time we should let them slip. May we continually remember from what we have been delivered and praise God for it and continue steadfastly. 2 Peter 1, 8 through 11. Second Peter 1, 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. we must persevere. We must continue on. If we don't have that commitment and maintain that calling, we will be a dying individual, a dying church. Number four, another sign of a dying church is when it begins to live carelessly. Of the church there in Sardis, it said that there are a few names, even in Sardis, which had not defiled their garments. There were apparently a lot of people that were part of the organization, that were part of the church at Sardis, who had become careless and complacent in their Christian lives, allowed their garments to become defiled. And we know what it's like to have defiled garments. Just not long ago, I saw a picture of a group of young men that were over in Liberia working, and apparently someone took a picture of them at the end of the day, and their garments were defiled. I mean, they were dirty and cruddy, and they had a lot of concrete dust and whatever all else on them. And Jesus here in this account uses that illustration to remind us spiritually that when we become careless and allow sin to come into our life, it is detestable and it is as undesirable as having defiled garments. We know how glad we are to get defiled garments off and get a shower and put on clean garments. And that's how interested we ought to be in our spiritual lives, to keep our lives clean, pure, and holy. But apparently there was a lot of people in the church of Sardis that had become careless and complacent. But he rejoiced that there were a few names there in Sardis that had not defiled their garments. Number five, a church is dying when it is unprepared for Jesus' coming. He reminded them here in verse 3 that he become as a thief upon those that had fallen away. I will come as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. May we always keep a focus on the fact that Jesus is coming again. He is coming soon. That is a sign of a dying church where that is not reminded and not thought of and not a driving, motivating thought in our heart and life and experience. Number six, a church is dying when fellowship with Christ is lost. It says that there was a few that had not defiled their garments. Apparently a lot of them had. And if you had lost your fellowship with Christ, you are living separate from God. Many were not walking in fellowship with Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 1, 5 through 7. The importance of fellowship with God, with our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 1, 5 through 7. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. Are you walking in the light? Are you walking in purity and holiness? Are you experiencing and enjoying that fellowship with Jesus? Are we enjoying that as a congregation? Apparently, it was a dying fellowship here at Sardis. And Jesus looked into that congregation, into that church, and was calling them back to himself. Finally, number seven under this evaluation, a church is dying when it fails to confess Christ openly. When it fails to confess Christ openly, do you have a vibrant testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for you? What was it that was prohibiting them or keeping them from having that witness of confessing Christ openly? Well, it was because they had fallen back into sin. They had defiled garments. He was not their Lord. He was not their Savior anymore. A sign of a living and Christ-honoring church is that it shares Christ with others. Is Christ real in your life? Is he real enough and does he mean enough to you that you share it with others? If a message is not flowing out from a congregation, from a church, it's an indication of a dying church. I'd like to move to the second part of our message this morning. Spiritual stimulation. What are some things that we can do to rouse God's people to action, to invigorate, to wake up, that the message that Jesus would have for our congregation, for this church, for our conference, or whatever relationship we might have in church life, what can we do to bring spiritual stimulation and life, if you will, to each of us, first of all, individually? If every one of you here this morning is spiritually alive and invigorated, active, living for Jesus, experiencing the joy of salvation, and we come together collectively as a congregation, we will be spiritually alive here. May that be our experience. That's God's desire. That's Jesus' desire. What can we do to develop spiritual stimulation, rouse to action, invigorate, wake up? Number one, by imperatives. What is an imperative? It's a command, it's a requirement, something that is absolutely necessary, urgent. Here in this passage here in Revelation chapter 3, these first few verses, he gives a number of commands or imperatives that require or demand a response. The first one we have in verse 3, I'll notice in verse 3, is that first word again, remember. We need to remember, first of all, what we've been delivered from, but then we also need to remember the commands of Jesus, the commands of the teachings of the Apostle Paul to the churches. We need to remember to live the all things of God's word if we're going to be spiritually alive. Remember. Remember what you have received. Brothers and sisters, this morning we've been given so much. And we do well to reflect on that and thank the Lord for it. It's not been by our own doings. What would we have if it was just by our own strength and what we could accomplish in life? But we've been handed so much as a Christian heritage, but it's all based on what God has given, even to our forefathers. And we'll hear more about that tonight, Lord willing. Remember. Remember your deliverance and the joy of first fellowship with Jesus. I remember the joy that flooded my soul when I made it known that I want to follow Jesus. I want to make him Lord of my life. Do we maintain that joy? Have you maintained that joy and that peace and that satisfaction? Memory is a vital part of the Christian life. Reflection on what God has done in our heart, in our life. And it leads us to thanksgiving and a communication of that thanksgiving to God. And it will help to maintain spiritual life and vitality, spiritual stimulation. Secondly, it's maintained by warning. Verse 3 here in Revelation chapter 3. It says, he warned them, I will come as a thief. If the church doesn't respond to Jesus' words that I will come as a thief, and have it be an avenue or a reminder through which we realize it's important that we keep our spiritual lives current, that we maintain holiness and purity of living because Jesus is coming, He has warned us, he has announced that he's going to come, and one day, just like that, he will have come. As quick as a person can clap their hands, that's how soon his coming will have happened, and it'll be over. There'll be no time to get ready at that point. And so we live in preparedness, in readiness, for the return of Jesus. And so he has this warning here to the church at Sardis. It's a call to them that they should repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief. And so what he says to them and says to others throughout the scriptures, the warnings are, he says to all of us here this morning that we need to watch and be ready. And for those who are ready, his coming is a blessed hope. But if we are not watching, it will be an event of terror and surprise to those who are not ready. And so, a constant reminder and a constant thought in our mind that Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming again. It might be today. We don't know when, but Jesus is coming again. Will motivate us to a life where we walk close with God, and that we might be like it was with Enoch, that one day we will not be because we walked on and are walking with God for eternity. So let's be ready. By example, there was a few names here of those who were being faithful. In verse 4, thou hast a few names, even the Sardis, which have not defiled themselves, that have not defiled their garments. They shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. We continue to need to be examples, and we continue to enjoy the encouragement that we can get as the people of God individually from the faithful lives of others. Brothers and sisters here this morning, your life of faithfulness is an example to me and is an encouragement to me to continue on faithfully. May that interchange, that experience of being an example one to another, be real in our congregation. There are those, unfortunately, have fallen out by the way, who have chosen to take the path of sin or the path of the world. And the greatest testimony or the greatest attraction that can ever be held before them is a life of example, a continued life of example. Example through prayer and a commitment to God and just being faithful. I shouldn't have put that word just, because it's not just being faithful. But to be faithful this morning is so important and means so much to others. To be faithful means so much to your children that are growing up in your homes. Being faithful is so important to your children who have gone out on their own, and to see parents continue on faithful. Faithful church leaders, faithful fathers, faithful mothers, faithful youth. Youth, as you blend together and share together your personal lives and your testimony, your example of a commitment to be a follower of Jesus, to follow God's word, to be faithful to the church, that example is tremendous in the life and experience of others. Let's be faithful examples. Number 4, by encouragement. We can inspire spiritual stimulation by encouragement. There was hope for the church at Sardis. If they would receive this message, if they would hear the warnings, there is hope yet for the church today that may be floundering. But they must follow God's directions. They must wake up spiritually. You know, in the world that we live in, we can tend to feel like Elijah did sometimes. Elijah felt like he was the only one left. He was the only one left that hadn't bowed his knee to Baal, but he was reminded that there were 7,000 others. In the world of wickedness in which we live, we sometimes can get to feel like there's not many faithful. But it's not in numbers. We are each going to need to give an account to God individually. We each need to give an account to God individually. And so let's encourage one another by a life of faithfulness. And if we are faithful and encourage one another individually, we will be a collective body of believers that will be an encouragement to the church at large. 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, the Apostle Paul admonishes the youth to be an example of the believers. May God bless you in that respect. Be an encouragement one to another. Support each other in making that commitment of a life of faithfulness. Point number five, spiritual stimulation is again by His Holy Spirit. In verse 6, to the message here, the church at Sardis, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches," unto the church. A sensitivity to what the Holy Spirit says. That wonderful gift. Jesus said it was important that He would go away, that the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, could come and abide with them. And so the Holy Spirit comes into the life and experience of the child of God, the believer, the one who commits his life to Christ. And we commit our life to the direction of the Holy Spirit. Are you sensitive this morning to hearing what the Spirit says to you individually? As you read the Word, as the Word is preached and taught, and instruction is given, do you open yourself up to what the Spirit says to you as an individual? And again, if we individually hear what the Spirit is saying to us, then we collectively will hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The Holy Spirit will never lead the church away from the truth of God's Word. God, the Father, God, the Son, and God, the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, they are one. They work together for one and same purpose. For the spiritual development and preservation of God's people, again, individually and collectively. And so, spiritual stimulation happens by individual members of the body cooperating with the Holy Spirit. Cooperating with the Holy Spirit. Resigned to the Holy Spirit. And so, my concluding challenge to us here this morning is that Jesus is saying to us here this morning, in this congregation, "I know thy works." Jesus knows our works. He knows our works individually, and our individual works make up the collective work of this congregation. Jesus knows this, the work here. And I would trust if Jesus were to tell John the Revelator to pen words about our congregation, that the word death would not even appear. But it would be about life, vitality, enthusiasm. Let's not be content to be lazy Christians, but let's be vibrant. Let's fill the role that God would have us to fill. Thank you for your discussion in Sunday school this morning. You know, let's get involved. Let's be involved. Let's show our enthusiasm. Study this Sunday school lesson so you can come prepared to share a thought, to inspire others. Let's be a congregation that is alive spiritually. And again, that is made up by individuals that are alive spiritually. May God bless each one of you, shall we pray.